Well, thank you so much for joining us on this Thanksgiving Day. And today I want to go right back to the classroom in the Florida Bible Institute and talk once again about the Holy Spirit and His work. Each of us need to better understand that every day of our life. Amen? And then we're going to close the broadcast out today with a song that I think would encourage you. Let's go to the message right now, the Holy Spirit and His work, and may God bless you as you listen. All right, we're in our Florida Bible Institute. We're in Level 2, Lesson 8, the Holy Spirit, His work, or we should say His ministry. That's where we're going to be, so let's just go ahead and open our Bibles. Your reading assignment was John chapter 14 and verse 1 through John chapter 16 and verse 33. Your memory verse was John 14, 16, 17, and 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm simply asking you for your anointing, Holy Spirit of God, to develop this in such a way that I myself and all the others can better understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the triune Godhead. We want to be to you and for you, all that we can be to you and for you. We want to glorify you, we want to honor you, and we want to obey you. And to do that, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to cooperate with you, Holy Spirit, and I'm asking you to anoint me to teach this in such a way that your people will better understand your ministry and you as the third member of the Godhead. And I thank you in Christ Jesus' name, and we all said amen and amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in the last two or three sessions. Have to remember that He's the third member of the triune Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not just an influence or a force of some kind. He is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus the Christ. Now, we've previously studied last week the symbols or the emblems that represent Him in Scripture. Now, we want to examine His work in the life of both the believer and the unbeliever. By better understanding Him and His work, we can better appreciate His ministry and learn how to cooperate with Him. So the first thing we want to cover in this session is the primary ministry. Notice I said the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the unbeliever. You are to read John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. I'm going to read these to you, and then we will explain them as we go. In John 16, 8, the Word of God says, and this is Jesus. Jesus knows that the cross, the shadow of the cross, is already falling across His life. He knows that He's not that far from the cross. He's trying to prepare the apostles, His disciples, for what's going to happen. And so He's briefing them, and in John chapter 16, verse 8, He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And He says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, He will not only convict men of their sinfulness, but He will also reveal to men their need of the Savior. And there's only one. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. Jesus Christ, the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. And so the Holy Spirit will not only convict an individual of their sinfulness, their sinful nature, their sinful lifestyle, but also their need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 9, He said, of sin, because they believe not on me. He will convict men for their failure to believe in and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Now we come down to 16:10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. He says the Holy Spirit will convict men of their own superficial hypocrisy, of their own self-righteousness. You see, we will try to rationalize and justify anything in our life that appeals to us, anything that we want to do, anything we want to be a part of. Regardless of what the Word of God says, if we're not careful, we will try to justify that thing in our life. We will try to rationalize that thing in our life, and Jesus lets the people know. Now, if they had ears to hear, he says, I go to my Father, and you see me no more. He is trying to prepare them for what is coming, and they are listening, but they don't have ears to hear. But the Holy Spirit is going to convict men of their own superficial hypocrisy and of their own self-righteousness. Now we come to John 16:11. John 16:11 reads, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He will convict sinful men that they and Satan are under the judgment of God, and that Satan has perverted the judgment of the world's judicial system. You know, in Daniel 7:25, the Word of God says that, speaking of Satan, and especially during the time of the Antichrist, he will try to make right look wrong and wrong look right. Well, we're seeing that in our day, aren't we? He will try to make right look wrong and wrong look right. He'll try to make it look proper for two men to form a union that they call a marital union. He will try to make it look right that you can rip the baby, the unborn baby, out of the mother's womb. All of this, the Word of God tells us. And then, if there's going to be any conviction, it has to be done by the Holy Spirit. If there's going to be any sense of being under the judgment of God, it's going to have to be done by the Holy Spirit. And the fact that Satan has perverted the judgment of the world's judicial system will have to be made real to an individual by the Holy Spirit of God. We come to John 6:44. It reads thusly, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice this. No man, no individual can come to Christ and be born again until the Holy Spirit, number one, convicts them of their sinful condition, convicts them of their need of a Savior. He brings them to the end of their own rope, so to speak. They understand that they cannot change their lives. They cannot eradicate the sin from their lives. They cannot overcome the habits, the strongholds, whatever that stronghold or habit may be, in their own strength and own power. They cannot overcome it. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. And so, Jesus is telling us that no individual, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is the Holy Spirit that has to draw us to Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that has to draw us to Jesus. Go back to Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So many of the world's religious systems are based on religious works. If you do this religious work, if you do this religious practice, if you do this, then you're going to be right with God. No, you must be born again, but you can't be born again until the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sinful condition, until the Holy Spirit convicts you that you need the Savior, and number three, draws you to Jesus. What did Jesus say? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to Jesus and revealing to you the sin that's in your life. Now we have Acts 1:8. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He knows he's leaving, and he's trying to bring them some comfort and some solace. He says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, notice something here. We're going to find out the believer's part in cooperating with the Holy Spirit in bringing the message of salvation to the world, of bringing the message of salvation to a person who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This, we're going to find out, is the believer's part. Once you've been born again, this becomes your part in cooperating with the Holy Spirit in bringing a lost person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at what it says again. He's speaking to his disciples. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. They have to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be that witness. They have to have, they had to have it, we have to have it. In order for us to be that participant with the Holy Spirit in leading people to Christ, we have to have the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now we come down to Romans. We're looking at Romans 10, verse 9. That was your assignment. Romans 10, verse 9 through 17. The Word of God says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You should be born again. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, it is through the mouth we profess and confess what is truly in the heart, if it is in the heart. If it is in the heart. Verse 11, "For the scripture says, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed." You're not to be a closet Christian. You are to participate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God in bringing lost men to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For the scripture says, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed." Then he goes on to say whose salvation is acceptable to us, who it's for. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him." One Lord, one Holy Spirit, one salvation, one means of being made right with God. You must be born again. You must be born again. And there's no difference whether you're a Jew or a Greek. Same rule applies to all. We come to verse 13. "For whosoever," Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now get this. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." And so here he is drawing this individual that has been so deep in sin for so long. This individual has been living such a life of sin and wickedness and perhaps depravity and all manner of expressions of ungodly, unholy lifestyle and sin. And yet, the Word of God says, whosoever, and it doesn't matter whether they're a Jew or the Greek. It doesn't matter whether they're black or white. It doesn't matter what race they come from. It doesn't matter what their nationality is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved to what and saved from what? Saved to, if you will, being born again, made a member of the family of God, brought into the kingdom of God, and saved from an eternity in hell. Saved to what? An eternity with God in the new heavens and the new earth. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity in hell. And whosoever, please get this down, you've got people around you that you've lost all hope for. You've got some people, perhaps co-workers or neighbors or maybe even family members, you say there's no hope. They've been spiritually, religiously deceived, if you will. Or they're in such a life of sin, they're never going to come out of that and really be born again. Whosoever shall call upon the name shall be Lord shall be saved. Your job is to help pray them into the kingdom of God. Your job is to help pray them into the kingdom of God. You say, "Bob, you don't understand. I've been praying for this individual or these individuals for years. I've been there, but I've seen God come through. I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen God answer prayer in the last closing days of their life. But I'm saying to you, the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But look at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" How can they call on someone that they have not believed? "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" You cannot profess faith in someone you've never heard about. And so Jesus, here in the Word of God, the Spirit of God is raising the issue. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We're not talking about just, if you will, ordained ministers of the gospel. A preacher is that individual who proclaims the good news. If you've been born again, if you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, if you've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God on you, you can proclaim the news. You can proclaim the gospel. Verse 15, "And how then shall they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice something here. Missions is the ministry of the church. I'll get to that in just a moment in another scripture. But right now, the thing I want you to see, Jesus told his disciples, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Now notice something here. Up until Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not come to indwell people and stay there. He came upon people to anoint them to do a variety of functions within the kingdom of God, but he did not come to indwell mankind until Pentecost. And then he came to indwell. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he says to us, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. How do you do this? How do you do this? Lifestyle evangelism. Now these men were going to be sent out right then. Holy Spirit's going to fill them. They're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're going to go around and start proclaiming the gospel. But you in this hour, in this day, if you've been born again, you've received the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now in this our day, how do you win people to Christ? Lifestyle evangelism. You've got to live your life in such a way that others will see Christ in you and covet what you've got, want to know what you've got. How can you hold up under these situations? How can you hold up under these circumstances? What is the source of your joy? What is the source of your peace? What is the source of your happiness? Lifestyle evangelism. And then, backing up lifestyle evangelism, a verbal testimony. Your personal witness. What has Christ Jesus done for you personally? What has he delivered you from? What has he brought you out of? What has he done in your life? You see, you have a testimony. Are you hiding it? Are you a closet Christian? Are you hiding your Christianity in the closet? You've got to be, and you can be, through a lifestyle evangelism and through verbal testimony, you can let other people know who you are, why you are, the way that you are. We come to verse 16 of Romans chapter 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah was prophesying, and Jesus is preparing these people to understand that not everybody is going to believe their report. Not everybody is going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah was saying that. They've not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah, you see, he's giving them, if you will, a foreshadow of things to come and some of the opposition they were going to run up into. You've got to understand that not everybody around you is real thrilled with you. And not everybody around you is real thrilled with your testimony. Not everybody around you is thrilled with your lifestyle. But you've got to be willing to accept that and still go ahead and be what you're supposed to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. So then the Word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order to be born again, they're going to have to hear the message. They are going to have to hear the message. And some of them never darken the door of a church. Some of them never listen to a sermon on radio. Some of them never watch a spiritual program on television. If they're ever going to hear the gospel, how can they call on him whom they've not heard about? How can they call on him whom they've not believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard? You are going to have to help them understand the gospel through your lifestyle evangelism and through your verbal testimony and your witness. Now, once again, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me, whether they be Jew or Gentile, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their sinful condition. Listen, we all came to Jesus out of a sinful condition. We were all born with a sin nature. We all came out of the womb with a sin nature. And Jesus is saying, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He is saying that all that the Father gives him is going to come. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has known from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, who would be willing and to be willing to be enabled to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ not as an act of their will so much, but as they were enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And God from eternity past has known who would be willing and who would not be willing to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to believe, because you cannot believe unless you're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to believe. So Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Once they come to me, I'm going to receive them. I'm going to embrace them. The Word of God tells us, as a matter of fact, that when we come to Christ, we are sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. I can't break the seal. You can't break the seal. Once you come, you are sealed. Now, listen, don't be afraid of the word election. You've heard me say this time and time again. We're not talking about some being predestined to hell and some being predestined to God, to heaven. No, we're not saying that. What we are saying is that God is omniscient. Listen to me. God is omniscient. God has never learned anything new. God knew from eternity past who would be willing to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, who would receive the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be born again. God knew that. And so Jesus said, all that the Father gives me, those are the ones that God has given to Jesus. Those are the ones that the Father has given to Jesus. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says, I'll receive them all. I don't care what they look like. Don't care how much sin they got hanging all over them. If they'll repent, as the Father gives them to me, they will come to me in repentance. They'll be willing to believe. They'll be willing to receive. They'll be willing to be born again. All that the Father gives me is going to come to me. And once they come to me, they're mine. I will never cast them out. Now we come down to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Word of God says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, watch this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That, my friend, as I said a moment ago, is the mission of the church. Missions is the mission of the church, both individually and collectively. Each of us are, in our own way, a missionary wherever God has placed us. Wherever God has placed us, we are a missionary in that place if we've been born again. We have a knowledge of the truth. We have the gospel. And we are, through our lifestyle, through our testimony, through our witness, we are to be carrying that with us everywhere we go. Now, the believer's role in winning the lost is daily, moment by moment, submit themselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lifestyle and when led to do so. Notice I said when led to do so. Sometimes you've got to establish a relationship with them for yourself before you can bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are some that, in a sense, you're going to have to sort of win them to yourself before you can win them to Jesus. You've got to show interest in them. You've got to show love to them. You've got to be willing to tolerate and put up with what you have to tolerate and put up with. That does not mean you join them in it. That doesn't mean you sit down the bar stool beside them and participate in what they're doing. No, but it means this. It means that you've got to be willing to embrace them and love them in spite of them and what they are and all they are. What were you? What was I? When we came to Christ, some of us were not lovable. I thank the Lord God Almighty for loving the unlovable. I was most unlovable in many respects, and I thank God for loving the unlovable. So we've got to love the unlovable as well. Now, let's talk about the ministry. We've been talking about the ministry to the unbeliever, by the Holy Spirit, through those of us who are believers. Now let's talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Watch this very carefully. John 14, verses 15 through 17, reveals that the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer at salvation. When you came to Christ, when you were born again, then the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life. John 14, 16 reveals that the Holy Spirit will illumine us, enlighten us, and teach us the things of God. You will never comprehend and understand the spiritual things of God and the Word of God without the divine illumination of the Holy Spirit. You need Holy Spirit illumination, Holy Spirit anointing to get into the Word of God and truly understand the Word of God. It is understood that this takes place when we submit ourselves, if you will, to Him and spend time with Him in fellowship and in prayer. It is as we spend time in the Word. It is as we spend time in the Word. It is as we spend time in prayer. It is as we spend time in thinking about what we've read. You'd be surprised how many verses seem so simple and look so simple. And you think, I got it. I understand that. But you have to understand progressive illumination, which I'll get to further on in a moment. You must understand progressive illumination. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is going to, as you spend time in the Word of God, as you spend time in meditation, as you spend time in prayer, as you spend time with God, the Holy Spirit is going to progressively, slowly, but surely, but inexorably, reveal more of the truth of the Word of God to you. How do I know that? Jesus promised that. Jesus promised that right here in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. The Holy Spirit will guide the believer into all truth. What does he say? I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There's no way that they could have comprehended and embraced and, if you will, bore up under the realization that everything was going to change. Christ is going to be crucified. Yes, there he's told them that. He's told them that, but they're not hearing. They're listening without hearing, as so many do in church every week, listening without hearing. They could not possibly embrace everything that was going to happen as a result of his death on that cross, when he who knew no sin became sin, took the sins upon himself of everyone who would believe in him and trust him, and put those sins to death in himself. There was no way that they could comprehend the changing of the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, to the Christian Sunday, if you will, the Christian Lord's Day. There's no way they could understand and grasp the fullness of the Jewish nation being set aside for a season, while the Gentiles were receiving what the Jews had forfeited for a season, until the times of the Gentiles was finished. All of that is involved in this. They could never have comprehended all that was going to happen as a result of his death, his burial, his resurrection, all that was going to change, and all that was going to be introduced. And so he says to them, you cannot bear them now. He says, I have yet many things to send you, but you cannot bear them now. I got news for you. There are people sitting in church every week of the world that have trouble grasping sometimes progressive further revelation of the Word of God, because they're kind of stuck back here in this set of doctrine. They're kind of got their mind made up. Yes, I think I believe that. Yes, I receive that. But they have difficulty embracing deeper truth. They have difficulty receiving different truth. And many of them are listening, but they're not hearing. They're just not hearing. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You're not capable of bearing them right now. Then look at verse 13. Howbeit, he says, when the Spirit is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice, guide. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He's not going to exalt himself. The Holy Spirit does not exalt himself. I've seen a lot of self-exaltation in the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's in the way an individual walks. Sometimes the way they perform on the platform. Sometimes it's in an expression of ministry. I have been there. I've seen this. I have seen so much of flesh and self-exaltation many times in many expressions of ministry. But Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. And I had to say to the Lord one time, Lord, any time and every time that I've ever allowed the flesh, any time and every time I've allowed any self-exaltation to slip into any expression of ministry, I call it sin. I confess it as sin, and I ask you to forgive me. Why? Because the Word of God tells us when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, but He shall not speak of Himself. No self-exaltation. But whatsoever He shall hear, where is He hearing it? God the Father, God the Son. Let Him know this. You see, you receive truth at different levels. You have to receive truth at different levels. You, as you progressively grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can receive, if you will, deeper truth and more truth. But whatsoever He shall hear, and God the Father knows when you can receive that truth. Christ Jesus knows when you can receive further truth. What He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. What's He talking about? The thing I said a moment ago, progressive illumination, progressive revelation, progressive understanding of the Word of God. Jesus goes on in John chapter 16 and verse 14, He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He shall glorify me. He will not glorify the denomination. He will not glorify the individual. No, He's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Can you handle further truth? Can you handle deeper truth? Can you handle progressive illumination? Can you handle progressive revelation of God to you, to yourself, of the Lord Jesus Christ to you, of the mind of God, the heart of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God? Can you receive deeper truth and further revelation? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Word of God says this, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what does Romans 8:16 teach us? If we are truly born again, the Holy Spirit will assure us of our salvation by His witness in our spirit. Do you have that witness? That's what He's saying here. Look at it again, Romans 8:16, or even Romans 8:14. Back to Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you have that witness? You see, He's saying if we're truly born again, the Holy Spirit will assure us of our salvation by His witness within our spirits. You get down to Romans 8:14 then. But let me ask you this. Do you have that witness? Do you have the personal witness of the Holy Spirit of God in your life saying to you, yes, I am born again? Do you have that personal assurance? I remember one time I was just a kid, and my dad and I, my mom was in the choir, and we were at church that night. Dad wasn't feeling good, and they had the windows up, didn't have air conditioning. And I was sitting in the car with my dad, and I heard the preacher. We had the windows up, and we were listening to the preacher through the window. And the preacher said something like he wouldn't give a dime or he wouldn't give a nickel for an angel from heaven to come and tell him he was going to heaven when he died. And I remember my dad saying, I'd give everything I got to have an angel tell me that. Now, later he got there, but the Word of God tells us, Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself, that should be Himself. That's a wrong translation. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now look at Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That teaches us again, if we've been born again, the Holy Spirit will lead us. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in our everyday decisions of life. And that includes who to marry and who not to marry. What car to buy, what car not to buy. What house to buy, what house not to buy. Where to spend the money, where not to spend the money. In the everyday, what job to take, what job not to take. What trip to take, what trip not to take. What vacation to take, what vacation not to take. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit daily? Do you allow the Holy Spirit of God? Do you have that sensitivity where you're waiting on the impression of the Holy Spirit for the peace or the check in your spirit? Do you ever say to the Holy Spirit, where I need a check in my spirit, give me a check. Where I need the peace, give me the peace. I have had to make stands where I knew that I knew that I knew I've heard God. I knew that I'd had the impression of the Holy Spirit in my, and I could not change my position. And time after time after time, God has proven to me, yes, remain sensitive to my spirit, stand on what you know that you're supposed to do, be what you're supposed to be, yes, stand firm in the commitment you made, whatever it may have been. I've had that happen even in buying real estate, buying a house. I've had the Lord say, you can spend this. And on one instance, I had the man dropped the price $10,000, but I said, no, I can't do that. I was waiting for him to drop another $10,000 or so, and I wouldn't move. So he came back and he dropped. He brought it down to the price that the Father had told me I could spend for that residence. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in every area of your life, every aspect of your life. But so many times, so many of us made decisions without checking with the Holy Spirit. We bought this, bought that, went here, went that, married her, married that, him, whatever it may have been, without the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And too many times we pay the price for that. Are you allowing him to do that in your life by consulting and communicating with him? Now understand this. God in his omniscience. And God, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to encourage you. God in his omniscience. God in his love. You, if you've been born again, you're an object of God's love. All people are an object of God's love, but not everybody will receive that love. But those who have received that love, you are now his child. And he knew before the foundation of the world some of the bad, wrong, dumb decisions you were going to make. Okay? He knew before the foundation of the world some of the wrong, bad, dumb decisions you were going to make. And yet, in his love, in his grace and mercy, in his sovereignty, if you will, he moved bits and pieces around. He changed things. And sometimes he changed you. Sometimes he changed the other person. And he made it work out all right. And for that, you give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Now, we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And this lists a variety of expressions of ministry of the Holy Spirit, how he's involved in the life of the believer. And you were to read these and, in your own words, explain what they meant to you. So let's talk about it now as a class, shall we? The word of wisdom. Let's come to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me read you these verses 1 through 13. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into those dumb idols, even as you were led. That's where you used to be. You Gentiles were involved. Now, he's talking to people who are just now hearing the gospel. Some of you grew up hearing the gospel, and you've never really understood it. And some of you have never even received it yet, even though you grew up hearing it. He said, now, you were Gentiles, carried away to those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the empowerment, the enablement, and the surety of the knowledge and being sealed by the Holy Spirit to say that Jesus is Lord. You can say the words, but you'll know they're empty words. They have no significance in your life. They have no meaning in your life. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit has to make it real to you. The Holy Spirit has to reveal this to you. Now he goes on to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. What does that mean? It means there are different functions of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ, the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ. I'm not talking about what a lot of people call the church. There are differences of administration. There's differences of functions within the body of Christ. There are different administrations or expressions of service in the body of Christ, but it's the same Lord. It's all Jesus, and it's all the Holy Spirit. There are differences, diversities of operations, different manifestations, if you will, but is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, when we get down to verse 10, we'll get some idea as to the diversity of these functions. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What does that mean? The administration, the manifestation of the Spirit in you, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you, is meant to profit other people around you. It's not just for you. It's not just to please you and make you feel comfortable and happy. No, it is to profit the people around you with whom you're coming in contact. Look at verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Yes, yes, gifts of healing are still here for today. Yes, they're still here. Yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. God will not change. Yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I told you we'd get down to verse 10. You see a variety of these functions within the body of Christ. Now look at verse 10 of 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians 12. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. You don't choose your spiritual gift. Did you hear me? You don't choose your spiritual gift. You've got one. You may not be exercising it. You may not be using it. You may not be stewarding it very well, but you've got one if you've been born again. But you don't choose your gift. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Now look at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, talking about our human body, all the members of that one body being men, one body, so also is Christ. The body of Christ is the same way. It's made up of many members. Every member has a different function. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. We're all kinds of people in the body of Christ, come from all kinds of backgrounds and variety of gifts and anointing, but it's all meant to complement Christ. It's all meant to build the body of Christ. It's all meant to encourage the body of Christ. It's all meant to advance the kingdom of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is not a Baptist body and a Methodist body and a Assemblies of God body, a charismatic body, non-charismatic body. No, one body. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Once you understand, you see, I've made this point so many times. I want every organ in my body doing exactly what God ordained it to do. I want every organ in my body doing exactly what God designed it to do. And I don't want my kidneys and my liver and my heart in a fist fight. I want each of them saying, this is my place in the body. And I want each of them just to function as they're supposed to function in my body. Now, we come to some troubled waters here now. Let me get back over and start explaining some of this. The word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? This is wisdom the Holy Spirit gives into the affairs of life, both spiritual and secular, and the ability to verbalize that wisdom. Did you get me? That is the word of wisdom. This is that wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us into the affairs of life, whether it's spiritual or whether it's secular, but he gives us the ability to verbalize the wisdom that he gives. What about the word of knowledge? There's a fine line between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is insight and understanding of things, primarily spiritual, and the ability to communicate that insight and that knowledge in either a general or specific situation. Have to understand that. A word of knowledge is that insight given by the Holy Spirit, understanding given by the Holy Spirit of things that mostly are spiritual, but also can be secular. But he also gives us the ability to communicate that insight and knowledge in whatever situation it may be found. Faith, that trust and believes the word of God. Faith in Jesus Christ, that is demonstrated in the life of the believer. How? In overcoming all the obstacles at times in the natural seem insurmountable. We're going to face things that seem almost insurmountable, but it is faith. It's faith and trust and belief in God and belief in the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us and empowers us to overcome all those obstacles that at times we think, I can't make it. I can't make it over this one. That includes the tearing down of strongholds in the life. That includes breaking down strongholds in your own personal life. Things that have been a stronghold in your life for a long, long time. The Holy Spirit can enable you and empower you to overcome it. Gifts of healing, that is the supernatural Holy Spirit empowered ability through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to alleviate human suffering through healing. And yes, it is still effective today. I have experienced it. I've seen it. I've seen God do it. I have been a witness to it, and God has allowed me to be a part of it at times. It has nothing to do with individual. It is all God. It is the Spirit of God doing that which the Father wants done. But yes, I believe in the gifts of healing. No, I don't believe in a lot of the showmanship I've seen, but I'm talking about the true ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes, these are gifts to the body, and they are here now, operative today. Miracles, yes, the supernatural Holy Spirit empowered ability through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to cause supernatural events and acts to occur. God is the same. Word of God says he never changes. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I change not, said the Lord. See, we limit God. Listen to me, church. We limit God in our unbelief. We limit God. Prophecy, that's the Holy Spirit empowered ability to foretell, yes, a future event based on the Word of God and to preach and teach the Word of God. Now, we've had some people out there who claim to be prophets, Harold Camping. We've had Hal Lindsey. We've had others who kept prophesying this and prophesying that and prophesying, and none of it came to pass, but they were selling books. They were selling books, and they were getting offerings. Notice this. It should be noted, you have to understand this, that in the foretelling of an event, if that event does not come about just as it was prophesied, it was false prophecy. And the person rendering that prophecy may well be a false prophet. It has to align up with the Word of God. If that event, they're foretelling some event, as Hal Lindsey did, Harold Camping did, others have done, if that event does not occur as they prophesied it was going to happen, that was a false prophet, that was a false prophecy, and that makes them false prophets. When you talk about foretelling, preaching and teaching the Word of God, everything has to be predicated on the Word of God and judged by the Word of God. Everything has to be predicated on the Word of God and judged by the Word of God. Discerning of spirits, that's the Holy Spirit anointed ability to discern what spirits are present, what spirit is operating in this situation or this environment. Tongues, the Holy Spirit empowering and anointing one to speak a language or languages which they've never learned. They've never been trained in that. Now, this type of speaking in tongues is separate apart from prayer and praise expressions known only to God. And there is in Scripture, listen, there's a lot of bias, understand that. I'm an ordained Southern Baptist. I had to go non-denominational because the Father told me to. But you have to understand, where there's a bias, it won't take you long to find that bias. There is in Scripture, and most scholars agree with this, the ecstatic utterance. The ecstatic utterance which occurs between the individual and God primarily in prayer. Primarily in prayer. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, verse 4, verse 9, verse 13, verse 14. And then you have the interpretation of tongues. That is the Holy Spirit anointed ability to interpret language in which a person has no understanding or practice or experience. Let's face it, the ecstatic utterance serves no purpose at all in a congregation. The ecstatic utterance just by itself, or even praying in tongues in the midst of the congregation, doesn't add. Paul denounces that. Paul says, no, we need to understand what's being said. And it needs to edify, it needs to encourage, it needs to build us up. Now, what is your understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever thought about it? What do you think is the best evidence that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I can tell you the best evidence is a Spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5:18 tells us we're to be filled with the Spirit. The Greek word there is pleitho. I'm sorry, plero'o, whereas in Acts 2:4 is ple'etho. The proof and the evidence of a baptism of the Holy Spirit is a Spirit-filled life. And matter of fact, the Spirit-filled life is to be the normal Christian life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is anointing for ministry and witnessing in a supernatural sense. The best evidence that one has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, one, a Spirit-empowered life of faith, joy, love, peace, and an anointing for ministry above and beyond that which is normally encountered. Once again, Ephesians 5:18 is a day to condition. It's a day-by-day condition we're to live our life. Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18 is the day-to-day condition that each believer is to live in, and as they live this life of repentance and holiness, continuing constant repentance and holiness. One cannot be filled and harbor knowledge of ongoing sin in the life. If you've got ongoing sin in your life, friend, you're not spirit-filled. If you have known unconfessed sin in your life, you are not spirit-filled. You cannot harbor sinful thoughts, sinful habits, sinful practices, sinful attitudes, and be spirit-filled. Now, I can cooperate with the Holy Spirit in living a spirit-filled life, but one, I ensure that I keep my sins confessed up to date. I keep my sin list short. And in submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in a life that is fully submitted and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Just that simple. That, my friend, is what is involved. Are you willing to submit and surrender unconditionally to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to unconditionally submit and surrender to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus in your life in order to have the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and fill you and empower you for the work of the kingdom of God? Are you? That's a decision between you and the Father. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing this word with your people. I thank you for this lesson. I thank you, Father, that perhaps all of us need to be stirred in our hearts to better comprehend and understand what it means to be Spirit-filled and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us and through us to the world around us. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, dear hearts, once again, I want to thank you for being a part of our Challenge Ministries Radio Congregation. And, of course, I just had you in the classroom. That was taken from our Florida Bible Institute curriculum. And that was Level 2, Lesson 8, the Holy Spirit in His Work. Don't know what you're going through today. Don't know what you faced yesterday. Don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. But I know this. Let this song encourage you, okay?
With sorrow and care.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge, and have a great, great, Christ-centered, Christ-honoring Thanksgiving Day. And until we meet again, may God bless you and yours real good.